Welcome to the first ever Media Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Let us pray. You are a mighty good God. We've come this far by faith, not leaning on man, but leaning on the Lord, trusting in your holy word. We trust in it, and we trust in you because you've never failed us yet. And so we sing as our ancestors did, oh, we can't turn around. You can move men and women in and out of our lives. If you spin the world around, we know you spend our lives around. So in rotating situations, our consistency is found in your consistency. And we trust in this, that you are and will continue to be good. You have and are good to us. You've been better to us than we have been to ourselves. The truth of the matter for all of us in your house on today is, if it had not been for you on our side, we don't know where we would be. And so, thank you for the move of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for your spirit. Now, as we come to your word, we pray that you would preach to us by the power of the same spirit that was resident in Jesus Christ, that men might hear it, and women might hear it, and boys might hear it, and girls might hear it, and that those who might need to might cry out, I yield. What must I do to be saved? It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray with thanksgiving. Our hearts and our souls say, amen. Good to be back. Amen. Would you grab your Bibles? Come to Acts chapter 12. I want to preach a message by the Spirit on this morning entitled What We by the Spirit, I believe, will get into on Wednesday night, and that simply is the supernatural power of prayer. Thank God, you know, whenever God lets Sister Elsie get behind a microphone, you don't know what's going to happen. So. But you know God's going to move, and so we're grateful for her faithfulness and her spirit-filled sin. Come on, let's celebrate her even as we look to the world. Acts chapter 12, the Bible says this, beginning at verse 1. If you have it, say amen. It was about this time that King Herod, say this time. Okay, good. It's about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread, also known as the Passover. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. If I could paraphrase right here what the Bible just says, somebody was praying for me, had me on their mind, and they took the time. That's just what it says, parenthetically. Verse 6, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Ooh, I feel like preaching. Bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. Say, suddenly. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. He was following, but he didn't fully understand. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of the one street, suddenly the angel left him. And the final verse that we're looking at today, verse 11, says, "Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen.'" I want to preach a message by the Spirit on this morning simply entitled, "The Supernatural Power of Prayer." Let us pray. Speak, Father, once again, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you, and we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Speak, Father. Amen. I want to offer something up to you that may be challenging for you to hear. I believe that because God knows and understands certain outcomes before we even get into them, that he has a way of creating and crafting situations, that are intended to teach you how to pray. I want to say that again because it sounds like some people did not even hear it. Maybe you didn't want to hear. Said by the Spirit, what I believe is that God has a way of crafting and creating certain situations and scenarios in our lives, not to destroy us, not to take us out, and you ought to praise God for that. Not to punish us, not to tear us down, but to in fact make us stronger by teaching us how to pray. I believe that God wants us to know how to seek after him. I believe God wants us to know how to rely on him and him alone. I believe God wants you and I to know that at times in your life when you feel betrayed, you feel like people have turned their backs on you, when you feel like nobody else is there, that there is a God in heaven. Anybody found that out? Who sits high, but he looks low. And I came by to tell you, to not find that out, you're going to have to be in relationship. And in order to be in relationship, you're going to have to know how to pray. Back that up somehow, Pastor, with scripture. Well, the Bible says in this particular passage, Deacon Charlotte, that Peter is going through all sorts of difficulty. He's put in chains. You saw that. He's dragged into jail. You saw that. He watches one of his brothers in the ministry, a fellow disciple, be put to death by the sword. You saw all that. And so he is being held. And for all intensive purposes, he does not know whether or not he's going to make it out to see the end of the next day, because he's being held there awaiting trial. And at the end of the other brother's trial, he lost his head. But the Bible says something very interesting that lets me know that perhaps if I switch out the way that I'm viewing this thing and I look at it from a different perspective, God has set Peter up to learn not what it means to be defeated, but to learn what can happen when you are surrounded by people who know how to pray. How can you say that? Because the Bible says this. I told you, pay attention to verse 1. I told you, didn't I tell you to pay attention? Didn't I tell you to read it? Didn't I say this? It was about this time. Remember I told you to say this time? Well, this time is not Chronos. This time is Kairos.
And let me explain kairos if you need it for a little bit. I know not of us, you don't have to know a lot of Greek to understand kairos, but here's what kairos is. Kairos time is not the time that's on your watch. Kairos time is not the time that's on your clock. Kairos time is not the time that goes by day, second, minute, and hour. Kairos time, hear it by the Spirit, is supernatural, divinely orchestrated time. Kairos time occurs when God decides to step into the universe that he created and gave to man and to do something supernatural about it. It was Kairos time when the Bible says that God opened up the Bible through Jesus and he preached his first sermon and he said the appointed time has come. It's time to repent. It's time to turn away. That was Kairos time when the Bible foretold the coming of John the Baptist and his birth into the earth. That was Kairos time. That means this is an appointed time. That means this is a God ordained time. And I need somebody up in here who's suffering. I need somebody up in here who's going through it. I need somebody in here on this morning who felt like throwing in the towel, who did not know why all this mess, all this hell, all this high water was coming your way. I need somebody in this house who felt like quitting, who cried this week, who felt like giving up. I need somebody in this house who did not know how you were going to make it to understand that perhaps the reason that you're going through what you're going through is because God has divinely orchestrated this time for your life, not to take you up, not to tear you down, but to build you up and to teach you how to pray. The whole situation is reframed when I understand that this is Kairos time. First of all, I understand that everybody who's around me is supposed to be right there. Oh, God, help me in here. See, oh, God, I got to shout. See, the Bible says that he is chained in between two sets of guards. There are four and four. And he's sleeping with two brothers chained next to him. One chain on either side. But if I understand that it's Kairos time and that it's a divinely appointed moment, that means that everybody who's chained next to me, I may not like them. I don't know anything about them. These guards are not my friends. They're meant to tie me down. They're meant to hold me in place. See, some people in your life, you may not like their role in the divine assignment, but you've got to receive and understand that if this is a Kairos moment, everybody is right where they're supposed to be. Good God Almighty, I feel like preaching. It may not feel like it to you because you may not understand and like what's going on. But if it's a Kairos moment, that means that everybody to my left and everybody to my right and everybody that's connected to me, even though I'm in a lockdown situation, is supposed to be right there. And can I tell you that part of the reason that God will connect certain people to you in the midst of a Kairos moment is so that when God steps into that moment with you, they have no choice but to be a witness. Can I tell you, somebody got to be a witness. Some haters got to be a witness. Some man, some woman's got to be a witness. Somebody's got to testify to the fact that I saw them chained. I saw them headed towards divorce. I saw them down. I saw them lonely. I saw them feeling like it was out. But I also saw God show up in the midst of it all. And I got to be honest with you. I got to testify. I know that nobody but God could have brought them out of what they were in, because I was in it with them. I was there with them. I saw them when they were down, and I have no idea how anybody but God could have brought them out. That's going to be somebody's testimony. That's my testimony. That's your testimony. I don't like it when I get chained. I don't like it when I get held in place. I don't like it when God ties me down. But every now and then, he'll do it in order to hold you right where you need to be as a part of your testimony. The Bible says that he's there, he's chained, and that while he's chained, the prayer begins to go up. The church was earnestly praying. Well, that's good news. is good news, because here Peter is in jail. The church is outside of the jail in a home, but they're praying. They're praying. They're praying. They're not next to him. They have not seen him. I don't know when the last time was they had contact with him, but they're praying. But they're praying. But they're praying. But they're praying. Oh, let me say that again. I don't know when the last time that mother saw her son was. I don't know how long he's been locked up and away in prison. I don't know how concerned they are about Islam creeping into their mind. I don't know. I don't know how long it's been since he's seen her husband. I don't know how long it's been since he's seen his wife. I don't know how long it's been since they talked to their mother, talked to their father. I don't know how long it's been since they've seen their best friend. But the Bible says even though they could not see Peter, they kept on praying for him. Can I just come by to tell somebody in here, you know that prayer is your assignment in this season of your life, and you cannot touch your child, you cannot lay hands on your child, but my God, you can pray. My God, you can pray. And I came by to tell you, they ain't talking to you. Oh God, help me, I feel something. They ain't talking to you. They ain't responding to you like they ought to, but my God, you can pray. You can pray. You can pray. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that when they prayed, he did not send him, he did something better. He sent an angel down to step into that situation with them. Now, the good news about this is, Brother Frank, when the angel steps into the situation with them, the church does not know it. And so they continue to pray. They don't know that God is moving. They can't see that God is moving. They have not felt that God is moving. They've gotten no notice. They ain't getting no text message. It wasn't posted on Facebook. They didn't get it off of Twitter. They didn't get it off of Instagram. They didn't know that God was moving, but he was doing it all the same. And even though they did not know that God was moving, because they had been praying, God began to move and respond to the prayer. And God sent that brother exactly what he needed. I need to tell you, you may not realize it right now. You may think your prayers are in vain. You may not understand that they're having the impact that they're having. It may not look like any fruit is being born from what you're saying and what you're saying to God and what you're praying. But I came by to tell somebody, you need to just keep on praying. You need to just keep on fasting. You need to just keep on calling on the name of the Lord, because sooner or later, you're going to see evidence of that prayer. The Bible says this, that the angel comes down, that Peter is locked down in the situation, and that the Bible sends, God sends the angel, and he touches the chains that have him bound, and the chains are touched, and so he tells Peter to just get up. Good God Almighty, I'm getting ready to get out of here. I'm not going to preach much longer, but can I tell you that every now and then prayer, when it gets a hold of you, it will give you the power to come out of some things that you could not come out of by yourself. Help me get ready to get out of here, Minister Mika. Can I tell you on today that if it had not been for prayer, and if it had not been for somebody calling on the name of the Lord, this may not resonate for everybody. Everybody doesn't know what it's like to feel trapped. Everybody doesn't know what it's like to feel stuck. Everybody doesn't like what it's like to feel low. Everybody doesn't know what it's like to feel down. But can I tell you something I learned? It may not make sense cognitively. I cannot explain it with my rational mind. But I've learned that when those who are not in it with me, even standing on the outside, when they start to pray and I'm still on the inside, my God, I can feel it. I can feel prayer. Is there anybody here? And you know what it's like to feel prayer. Come and start to lift some stuff off of you. That's why you know how to say, I'm standing here today, because there was somebody who prayed for me, had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. And every now and then, God will make a situation in your life that's impossible for you to get out by yourself. And so now here is Peter. Good God, I feel my help in this place. He got chains on his right, and he's got chains on his left. But the supernatural power of prayer will break off every chain. Oh, it'll break every chain. Oh, it'll break every chain. And so now here is Peter, and the Bible says that the church is praying, and he begins to stand up even in the midst of what he's going through. Is there anybody here? And you felt down and you felt trapped. Well, the Bible says that God sent the angel down, but watch this, the angel did not pick Peter up. The angel did not lift Peter up. The angel touched the chains, but God said, Peter, you're going to have to stand up by yourself. I'm sick and tired of coming to church with people who waiting for me to get them out their seat. I'm sick and tired of coming to church with people who expect me to lift them up all by themselves. I'm sick and tired of coming to church with people who wait on me in order to give God praise. Well, I came by to tell you, God will lay down the word. God will touch your situation, but you're going to have to stand for yourself. I wish I could praise for you, but you're going to have to praise for yourself. Is there anybody here? You don't mind standing. You don't mind shouting. You don't mind giving God your best praise. And the church kept praying, and Peter was able to come out, and he was able to walk out. And the Bible says it happened so fast that he thought it was a dream. The Bible says that suddenly he was bound, but suddenly he was free. Suddenly he was delivered. Suddenly he was healed. I came out to tell somebody, when the church starts praying, it don't take my God long. He can do it. Won't he? Won't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah.
It doesn't take God long to move if you can just hang in there until the appointed time. See, the challenge is for the person who's on the praying end. You can see the challenge. The challenge is, I'm praying, but I can't see anything happening. And so I'm tempted to stop praying. Oh God. I preach before, and sometimes I've stood up and I've told you God works through process, and he does. I've told you God works through process. We've talked about the fact that God made the world in 7 days. He didn't have to. He could have done it all at once, but he did it in 7 days. We've talked about process. He marched around Jericho's walls. He could have delivered it with one shout, but the Bible says he brought him around 7 times. I've talked to you about process. God works in process. Does God work through process? Yes. Takes 9 months for a baby to be born. I understand. But I also came by to tell you something that I can't make you shout. I can't make you believe it. I can't make you receive it. But I came by to tell you this. Not only does God work through process, there are times when God will come in. There are chirological times where God says, you know what? Forget this process. They've been praying. They've been fasting. And so this thing right here is going to happen suddenly. That's what I read. Suddenly he can deliver. Suddenly he can set free. Suddenly won't he do it? Say yeah. So don't lose faith and don't stop praying, because if you're looking for signs of the process, this time around you might not see it. My God. Because at 11:15, we're going to look at the fact that they were still praying when Peter knocked on the door. In fact, the whole time they were praying, God had moved so fast that they were still praying, and he had gotten released, walked to the house, knocked on the door. They couldn't even believe he was there.
Because God moved that fast. I'm just here to tell you, I know you don't believe in prophesying and all like that, but I came by to tell you, if you just continue to pray, continue to believe God, I don't know what it is, but God can do it for you, and he can do it for you suddenly. And if you believe it and you receive it, throw your hands up, throw your head back, and give my God. Come on, we'll just stand to your feet on today. Suddenly. I see suddenly. Come on, say it suddenly. Come on, touch your neighbor. Tell him suddenly. Come on, help me touch him. Tell him suddenly. Suddenly. Tell him it can happen suddenly. Tell him you can get a new job suddenly. Tell him you can get delivered suddenly. Tell him you can get accepted suddenly. Tell him your child can get out of jail suddenly. Tell him it can be reversed suddenly. Tell him you can do it suddenly. Tell him you can make it suddenly. Tell him you can come out suddenly. Say suddenly. You can feel better suddenly. You can get delivered suddenly. It's suddenly. It's suddenly. My. Oh, Lord, I know you got to go, but somebody give him praise. Come on. Bless the name of Jesus. If you believe he can do it suddenly, come on. Say, yeah. Ah, glory. Hallelujah. You know, it's 9 months of development. And then the baby, if it goes good, is out. It can feel like suddenly, in comparison to the 9 months that you were carrying that child. It's like you in there, and I can remember my wife had to push Khalil for quite some time, and so they talk about pre-labor, and then they talk about hard labor. Well, she was in hard labor for about 16 hours. Right, yeah, that's right. Pray, that's right. But what's amazing about that is it didn't seem like 16 hours. I was standing there. I know it did for her. I know, sisters. I know y'all like, yeah, okay. Let me tell you this though. Let me tell you, if you can hear this by the Spirit, there's so much that you're thinking about when you're standing there watching your child be born. There's so much that's going through your head, and you're thinking about your wife, and you're thinking about the baby, and the doctors are coming in and out. It seems like it's happening much faster than it was. And I can even tell you this honestly. My wife even said to me, I can't believe that was 16 hours, because it didn't feel like it was that long. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. There are times when you are stuck in the development process and God is moving and developing and doing things behind the scene. That's why the baby is still in utero. But God can deliver this thing suddenly. And I just believe you need to know that on today, because somebody was going to quit. Somebody was going to stop praying. Somebody was going to throw in the towel. But the word from the Lord is there's supernatural power in prayer, and if you believe it, he can redeem it and deliver you. Doors of the church are open on today. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Is there one here on today? Some man, some woman. Here he comes. Come on, let's celebrate. God bless you. Come on, put your hands together. Is there one on today? Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. Are you here on today? Come on. Look around on your row. Do you need to join the church? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Do you need to rededicate your life to the Lord? Are you here? Are you here? Maybe you need to be baptized.
He did.
Are you here? Here comes my brother. Come on, let's celebrate.
Suddenly.
Here he comes.
And he did it.
Here he comes.
He did it.
Yeah. Are you here? Do you need to rededicate your life? Do you need to give your life to the Lord?
He did it.
Come on. Here come the babies. Come on. Let's celebrate them. Here come the babies. Come on.
He did it suddenly. And he did it.
Come on, come on.
Suddenly.
Won't he do it? Won't it, won't it, won't it?
Hey.
Are you here? Do you need to rededicate your life to God? Do you need to give your life to the Lord? Are you here? Do you need to join the church? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Let me ask you, evangelize with me one more time. Just look at somebody. Just tell him he'll do it suddenly. Just tell him he'll do it. Don't lose faith. He'll do it suddenly. You may not see it coming. He'll do it suddenly. 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 Doors of the church are open on today. Amen. 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 Were you blessed by the word on today, church? Come on, let's give God some praise. Come on, put your hands together. It's time for us to prepare to give back to God a portion of that which God has given unto us. Amen. And so we're so grateful to God that he's blessed us to have something to give and that we are blessed to be alive and able to give. So we'll ask for those who are prepared to read and lead us through the stewardship litany to come forward at this time. And then we'll prepare to give back to God a portion of what he's given unto us. Let's pray even as you're preparing. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's seal it in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word on today. God, we thank you for the reminder that deliverance from you can come suddenly. And so, God, we are encouraged to continue to trust in the supernatural power of prayer. We may not always see it happening. It may not always feel like anything is happening or movement is taking place. But we thank you for your word on today that even while the church was praying, Peter was already being delivered. God, we're believing by faith that there are people who we've been praying for years. And we feel like we've seen no fruit. We feel like our labor has been in vain. God, I'm asking you by the Spirit on this morning to bring those names and those faces back into your sons and your daughters' minds. Let them know supernaturally not to give up. Let them know that you are still hearing and answering their prayers. And let them know that you can do it suddenly. So God, we look forward to the testimony that is to come. For we believe that eye has not seen and ear has not heard the great things that you have in store for those of us who love you. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Our hearts and our souls say amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, church. Amen. Please remain standing as we read together.